Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. How are you? I hope you're well. I hope you're fine. I hope you're in nice, comfortable surroundings. This is part two in a two-part episode in which I'm talking to Paul Taylor about management speak and corporate jargon. Paul used to work for Apple Computers, the big corporation that we know. While he was there, he often used to hear people using this kind of weird language of the corporate world, which we can call corporate jargon or management speak. It's a sort of a phenomenon that happens in the workplace in English. And in the first part of this episode, we basically talked about what is management speak? What is corporate jargon? Is it a bad thing? Why do people get so annoyed and irritated by it? Why do people use management speak at work? And what are some of the arguments for and against it? Most of the arguments really seem to be against management speak, including arguments proposed by people who work for the plain English movement. If you want to hear all of that commentary, you can just go to the previous episode of Luke's English Podcast and check it out. What you're going to hear in this episode is the continuation of my conversation with Paul. And in this one, we actually look specifically at some of the more well-known and well-hated examples of management speak. So we're going to go through a list. In fact, we're going to explain lots of the terms that you heard me use at the very beginning of the previous episode. That's when I kind of did a little monologue, which included loads of management speak and lots of annoying jargon. So we're going to go through all of that step by step and explain all of it to you. Okay. So that's it for this introduction. I'm now going to play you the rest of the conversation, and it's going to start right now. Now, I've got a list here of jargon. I've got a fairly long list.
Is this on the list of the stuff that you said at the beginning?
This is most of the things in this list are in that load of nonsense that I said at the beginning of the episode. Or alternatively, we could go through the script of the stuff that I said to you and we can decode it.
That might be useful, yeah.
Yeah, okay, maybe we can do that.
And then if there's any other time or expressions left over that we haven't tackled.
Okay, then. All right. So what I said to you at the beginning of the episode, Paul, was, hi, Paul, I just wanted to touch base with you in order to get all our ducks in a row. So the first one was to touch base.
Yeah, which I think we mentioned already, right? Which was to meet up or...
It sort of means to just talk to someone, doesn't it?
Just to catch up. I just need to speak to you.
Yeah, that's it. So that's one of the most unpopular examples of this
base.
Kind of language.
I don't even know where that would... I can't even think about where that would come from.
Touch
base. As I said earlier, it feels like a baseball thing where you touch base, you know, like when you're running around the baseball field and then you touch the base in order to... I don't know.
But it doesn't really make much sense to me. It's not that clear. I think this isn't a good example of annoying management speak.
Yeah.
I just wanted to touch base with you, Paul, just to make sure all our ducks were in a row.
Ducks
Why are you
in
talking
a row?
About all my ducks being in a row? To get all our ducks in a row. How do you understand that?
For me, that's just to make sure that we've got everything correctly aligned. See, aligned is one of those bollocks terms as well.
Aligned?
I just hear it a lot. But
aligned for me is just a formal word, but it's not necessarily a nonsense word.
Yeah, I think ducks in a row is just to make sure that, well, I guess we're on the same page, or to make sure that everything is correct.
Yeah, I've got... My definition is to be organized and to be in line with everyone else.
Yeah.
So if all of our ducks are in a row, it means that
you and
I are aligned and we're thinking about exactly the same things and we're going to be doing exactly the same things. You know. So but why are we talking about ducks in a row?
I mean,
what people find annoying about that, I imagine, is that it sounds a bit patronizing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a kiddie's bath time.
Yeah.
We don't have like yellow ducks and we're putting them in a line.
Yeah.
Don't be patronizing. let's just say I wanted to talk to you just to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what it is. The other way of saying I wanted to get all our ducks in a row, basically what they're saying is I want to just make sure that you're doing the job correctly.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's very much an expression of power, isn't it?
Mm.
If I say, I just wanted to, you know, just to make sure all our ducks were in a row, instead of saying, I'm just talking to you just to establish that I'm the boss and I want you to be doing this job in the way,
expect you to. Make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah. And it's this passive aggressive, isn't it? Because if your ducks are not in a row, what's going to happen? The boss is going to say, well, Paul, I think that you might need to have a look at the way that you're approaching, you know, this issue.
Mm.
And what he really means is, you're doing it wrong. I want you to do it like this.
Exactly.
And so
ducks in a row.
People find it insincere.
I had an Italian friend that got that mixed up with another corporate jargon, which is to go down a rabbit hole.
Go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Which this happened in a meeting where essentially going down a rabbit hole means that you're going off topic.
Okay.
We're talking about a certain thing, and then we're suddenly going down a rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
And my Italian friend was confused at some stage. He didn't know what was going on, and he just and at some stage, like about 5 minutes later, I think one of the phrases came up again, and he just stopped and was like, "Sorry, why are we putting the ducks in the rabbit hole?"
Don't put your ducks in a rabbit hole. That's the last thing you should be doing. Ducks in a line, and no rabbit holes.
Yeah.
I think I go down a rabbit hole on Luke's English podcast sometimes.
Yeah, probably do. Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so ducks in a row.
Okay, ducks in a row. There we go. Let's peel back the onion.
I've not heard that one, but I can gather what it means. Let's peel back the onion. Let's dig deeper.
Yeah,
let's take a deep dive.
Really? Let's take a deep dive on this one. So let's peel back the onion. We know that an onion has many layers to it. So I suppose to peel back the onion is to like go deep into a subject and look at all of the details in a deep way.
A deep dive. That's one that we always used to use.
A deep dive.
Yeah. Let's take a deep dive into this topic.
Okay. Which makes it sound a lot more fun than it probably is.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's kind of good, that in a meeting, you want the meeting to be a bit more fun and enjoyable. You don't want to necessarily go through your day saying, right, let's look at all of the details. You know, it sounds so boring. Okay, let's take a deep dive on this one, Paul. Yeah. It's going to peel back the onion. Look under the bonnet of this baby.
Well, I'd like in that meeting for everyone to have an onion, and we just start peeling an onion.
It'd stink though, wouldn't it? Can you imagine the smell?
It would smell. People would be crying. But then you could wear the goggles from the deep dive. We're going to take a deep dive, so you get your mask prepared, and then you start opening the onion, and then you don't cry because
right. What we should do, Paul, is make up a bunch of new corporate jargon and try and make it work. So anyway, to peel back the onion, I think we understand that. It's like remove layers of the onion to go deeper. And let's have a good look under the bonnet.
Oh, I've not heard that one, but again, that probably means a similar thing.
It means the same thing. So to have a look under the bonnet of the car is obviously the front part of the car, and you lift the bonnet in order to look at the engine. So if you have a good look under the bonnet, it's basically to analyse the situation.
Yeah. Or American English would be the hood.
Yeah.
A good look under the hood.
Yeah. So let's have a good look under the bonnet on this podcast situation,
which
just means let's analyse the podcast situation. At the end of the day, we brought you on board here because we think that you bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, I bring a lot to the table.
So,
I bring onions to the table, I bring masks to the table so that we can...
so we can peel them back and then take a deep dive.
Bring a lot to the table just means I've got a lot of skills.
You bring a lot to the table. It just means,
I've got a specific set of skills.
You've got a very specific set of skills. Also, at the end of the day, people say that a lot.
At the end of the day.
You know, Paul, it's like a footballer's thing, isn't it? Well, at the end of the day, you know, I've gone out there, I've just, you know, I've let my feet do the talking. And, you know, I've done my best. The manager, you know, the boss has told us to just go out there and have fun.
At the end of the day.
And at the end of the day, I've taken the ball on the half volley. And I've hit it first time, and there it is in the back of the net. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm very pleased to have, you know, had this result today. So, at the end of the day, none of that happened at the end of the day. It happened in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, at the end of the day, it basically means ultimately.
Mm.
Ultimately, I think that that's important.
Mm. Some of you may see the acronym at some stage.
What happened to your English? Some of you may see the acronym at some stage.
It was a mixture between, do you know what I mean? Like, basically, at some stage, EOD.
EOD.
Can I have this report by EOD?
Right.
And I didn't know what EOD meant until it was end of day.
End of day.
So can you get me this report by EOD, by end of day? So it's not the end of the day, it's literally end of day.
Yeah, but that's quite clear, isn't it? Because he's saying, I want the report by the end of the day.
Mm.
So EOD.
But it's wrong, because it's by EOD.
All right.
By end of day. That's not correct English if you speak... If you were to speak to somebody, is that a correct English?
Well, if I say, hello, Paul, just wanted to ask you, can you make sure you get the report on my desk by end of day? Like, what happened to the
and
of? Oh, you got of.
The and of just fucked off.
Yeah. It's like, can you get that report on my desk by end of day? No, sorry, that's not possible.
What about tomorrow beginning of day?
I could get it on your desk by the end of the day.
Yeah.
That I can do. I can't do anything by end of day.
He just doesn't like the word the.
Yeah. What's wrong with the word the? It's a useful word.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that's not so bad. It's just an abbreviation.
Yeah.
And it's not an idiom. But at the end of the day, you know, we've done this and we've done that. Well, no, you didn't do any of those things at the end of the day. And why
it's not even the end of the day now, as we're speaking.
Yeah, why are things different at the end of the day? It's like, you know, we all think this for the whole, you know, like 23 and a half hours. And then just before midnight, it's like, wait a minute, everything's changed. Mm. At the end of the day here, it just means ultimately. We've brought you on board. It just means, you know, we've involved you. We've brought you into the project because we think you bring a lot to the table. It's just like, you know, you bring lots of skills or experience or value.
It's very, very image-based, isn't it? To bring you on board sounds like on a boat, like to bring somebody, like you would say on board, welcome on board, either this flight or this ship, like on board, bring you on board, there's a table on board, you're bringing a lot onto the table on board, like onions. It's just a very image based phrase so
really,
far. I like it,
Paul. You know what we feel like you've done is you've brought a lot of onions onto the table.
So let's peel those bad boys back.
All right, so to bring a lot to the table, I think that impacts favorably on our key market component players. So here we've got some real corporate jargon. We've impacts, meaning it has a good effect. It impacts favorably, meaning it has a favorable effect on our key market component players. What are our key market component players? Well, that is kind of bullshit, really, and I did that on purpose. Key market components,
I've got no idea. The other word that I might have used, which is another corporate jargon, and there's on our stakeholders.
Right, stakeholders I don't know if that counts as corporate jargon, but it is a specialist term.
Yeah, because what is a stakeholder? Somebody's holding a stake. Like, what? I don't even know. Visually, again, there's a person holding a stake in the ground, I guess.
Or a stake that they're going to eat.
On the table with the onions.
Right.
We're getting there. but yeah, a key market component players would be just important people that have an interest in the business.
Right. Yeah, it's basically the same as stakeholders or people who are important to... it's usually customers that are important. So for me, our key market component players are my listeners, basically.
I just have this, this visual image of a guy holding a fried steak in his hand.
With an onion. On a table.
My stakeholders.
On board a boat.
Yeah, stakeholders for a big company. Like a company like Apple, the stakeholders are usually the people that have bought shares and are invested in the company.
But if we look at the word stakeholder, so it's not stake, S-T-E-A-K, of course, it's S-T-A-K-E holders, and it's got several meanings. One of them is the more pure meaning is that the people who've bought shares or bought a stake in the company, shareholders. But also stakeholders can mean anyone who has some vested interest in the company, and that includes the staff who work in the company and also means the customers who like to buy the products.
Exactly.
So that's stakeholders. But here we have key market component players. Key just means important. And market component players just means people in the market. So customers, or in this case, listeners for the podcast. And I think there is something that we can leverage, and this is something that we can leverage to bring about greater penetration. So to leverage something just means to multiply it, to make it bigger. And we use it in the sense of like a lever. You know, the way if you've got okay, if you've had a puncture in your car, the car tire has lost all its air. You need to change the tire. Then you will put a jack under the car. You know those things that we use to lift the car off the ground? You stick it under, and how do you lift the car? There's a lever, and you move the lever up and down, and it lifts the car off the ground. So that's that's what a lever is as part of a
mechanism. Or you can just get a really, really muscly guy
Mr.
called Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
He can go under
the car. Just Jack comes in.
Jack comes in
right
after he's eaten his steak with onions, and he lifts the car up.
But to leverage something is basically to try and multiply something in the same way there's a lever raises something off the ground.
You could also sometimes just change it to use. Like people would say, oh, Paul, we're going to leverage your language skills. In this project, we're going to leverage your language skills, which basically means we're going to use your language skills, or we're going to take advantage of your language skills.
So we're going to use your language skills in order to multiply something, like maybe success, or just we're going to leverage your language skills.
Yeah.
So we're going to use your language skills to open doors.
Yeah, or if it was just like, oh, you know, we've got a meeting in Spain. Well, Paul, we're going to leverage your language skills for this one.
Right.
Or we're going to use them. We're going to take advantage of the fact that you speak a language.
Use it as leverage.
Oh, that's another phrase.
Right. But it means using a tool in order to gain things. Mm-hmm. In this case, using your French or Spanish to leverage would be to, you know, use it as a way of getting more business or something like that. Anyway, to leverage something we can leverage, something we can increase or raise or use to increase something. To bring about greater penetration. Now, penetration or market penetration, it just means going into the market in more depth. And it sounds a bit sort of sexual, don't you think? Market penetration. What we need to do is streamline our key market component. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure that if I was clever enough, I could think about some sort of very sexualized management speech.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We need to peel back the layers of the onion and then achieve full market penetration, resulting in, you know, whatever. Anyway, so penetration, pushing our growth potential above and beyond just the low-hanging fruit. What is low-hanging fruit, Paul?
Imagine a tree and a fruit tree, like an apple tree, which is also known as an orchard. No, that's the whole thing. Apple tree, whatever.
Yeah.
An apple tree, and then at the bottom of the tree, you'll have ripe fruit that's low-hanging. So the fruit that's actually low is just easier to get to.
Yeah.
And so in the business sense, it means... I've heard about it in the sense where there might be a problem or a set of problems related to something, and people might be like, "Oh, well, let's not go for the low-hanging fruit." As in, let's not talk about the problems that are just the easy ones. Let's talk about the bigger problems,
right?
At the root of the thing. So, low-hanging fruit is it's another way for saying easy.
So the easy things. Could be the easy business from customers, or it could be the easy solutions to problems.
Yeah.
So just the easy things, the low-hanging fruit, which you can just easily take. Mm. And push things into the stratosphere. Well, the stratosphere is obviously in space. It's like, you know, way, 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 way high up in the sky. Mm. So it's basically, if you say stratosphere or stratospheric, it means, you know, very high achievement. I'm talking about streamlining.
Mm.
So it's streamlining. Just means making things more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be streamlining processes that you use. You know, people talk about stuff like Kaizen and all that. It's a production theory from Japan.
Okay.
It's like a streamlined form of problem solving. So streamlining, making things more efficient. And it could mean streamlining a company sometimes means
getting rid of people.
Mm. So that's one thing that people will find annoying. Yeah, you know, we're looking at streamlining the the human resources department. You're going to just fire some people or not fire them, make them redundant. I'm talking synergy. Synergy just means making things work together.
Mm-hmm.
And with yourself on board, we can push the strategic staircase all the way up to 11. So the strategic staircase basically is a business plan, okay? A business strategy. They call it the strategic staircase.
Right, I've not heard that one before.
All the way up to 11. So by 11, you know, it just means up to the highest level. And that actually comes from a film, Spinal Tap. Which
oh, is
you
it?
Might know, yeah. That's another story. I'm talking 110%. So sometimes people use these ridiculously high percentages.
Yeah.
Like 110%, which is not really possible.
No, it's possible in certain, you know, the only time yeah. when more than 100% is possible is when you're talking about like profit. Like our profit rose 150%, which means it went up the same amount but more.
Yeah.
But you can't say, oh, I've given it 150%.
I'm going to give it 110% effort. That's not impossible. That's not possible.
You can't.
That's part of our DNA at Luke's English Podcast.
Mm.
If something's part of your DNA, it just means it's like an intrinsic part of who you are. But usually companies don't have DNA. So
no.
It seems a bit ridiculous. Yeah, you know, it's really part of our DNA here at LEP Solutions. Wait a minute. You don't have... It's a company. It doesn't have DNA.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
The founding blocks or the founding... Yeah.
It's part of our core values.
Yeah.
Even that sounds a bit wanky. Mm. We're all about cascading relevant information.
Cascading.
Cascading. That means sharing good knowledge.
But in a specific way, like instead of just sharing the knowledge, it means that it's come from one manager to then his direct report, to then his direct report, to then his... So right. It's cascading down. It's not just like a free-for-all... like pool of information. The information's being cascaded from higher management to then lower management to lower management. It keeps going down.
So cascading just means going from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like when the information comes down.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And branching out across new frontiers. Branching out just means, well, it's like the branches.
Expanding.
Yeah, good. And Web 2.0 platforms, I think we know, that's just like, you know, the more advanced forms of websites and apps.
I think we're on,
things.
We should be on 3.0 at least by now.
Do you reckon?
I know, it feels like Web 2.0, the phrase came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I still don't really know the difference between normal web and Web 2.0.
It's just a bollocks term for saying... newer technologies,
more complex,
yeah, I think so.
Web-based technologies. Mm. I'm sure that one of my listeners can explain what the difference is between web and web 2.0.
Please leave a comment in the sections below.
Yeah, you can. You just let us know. I thought I'd reach out to you.
Mm.
That's one of the classic ones that people hate. I thought I'd just reach out to you, Paul.
Mm.
What do you dislike about that?
If you're going to reach out, actually reach out. Actually reach out and touch me.
Yeah,
you know, reach out with your hands and grab me.
So reaching out suggests a great effort has been made to bridge some huge gap, right? So I'm reaching out with my hand, stretching my hand in order to contact
when in
you.
Fact,
it's like the end of an Indiana Jones movie
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
And if I don't reach out to you, then you're going to fall into a huge hole
like
in the ground.
Yeah, it's like at the end of one of the Star Wars is when Luke's about to fall down.
Han Solo's going to fall into the Sarlacc pit and Luke Skywalker reaches out Lando Calrissian reaches out to save Han Solo from the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, or there's somebody at the end of the Empire Strikes Back when they're on the cloud bit and Luke falls down, he's only got one arm.
Right.
And then
Lando Calrissian again.
Oh, it was him, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, from the Millennium Falcon.
Right. And
anyway,
and he reaches out to him to
save
him.
In fact you've done is just sent me a bloody email.
Yeah. Just thought I'd reach out to you, Paul. Can you reach out to New York? Send them an email, you mean?
Yeah, I'll ping them when I get a chance.
So reaching out suggests, that level of emotion and difficulty and so on, when really it's not as dramatic as that. Just send them an email.
Mm.
That'll do. So we can just have a bit of downtime. It's like informal time rather than like the highly stressed.
As opposed
sort of
to uptown.
Uptime. Uptown funk.
Uptime. I've never heard uptime, but
no, there is.
There has
thing.
To be uptime if there's not downtime.
Well, I think what people consider to be uptime is the more formal world of meetings, where there's a bit more stress and people have got their ties on and all that shit. And downtime would be more like an informal time where you can talk in a more relaxed manner.
It can also be when things aren't as busy, like when I used to work from home. Versus when I was out actually delivering training. When I was working from home, that was my downtime because I wasn't stressed out.
Right.
A helicopter view.
Let's get a helicopter view of the situation.
Yeah, right. I've never heard that one. I've heard alternations.
Alternatives.
Wow.
What's happened to your English?
I don't know. It's got awful. I'm not listening to your podcast enough.
Yeah, clearly.
Alternative. So helicopter view. I've heard 30,000 foot view.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard a high level overview as well.
Right.
Can we get a high level overview? Well, by definition,
an overview
is high level.
Right.
So you don't need to say either of them. You just say, can we get an overview?
Yeah.
30,000 foot view.
A helicopter view.
Which is probably 10,000 feet.
You reckon?
Yeah, 30,000 foot is a...
It's even higher.
It's a jumbo jet.
Right. And then there's like a... Is there such a thing as a satellite view?
Yeah, there is actually.
Or global view.
A global view.
And the other one was a holistic view.
Holistic view.
Yeah.
There's also the Millennium Falcon view, which is... You get the view of the whole universe.
Then the Death Star view is like you just see the planet before you just explode it. You blow it up
because
you're like, I'm fed up with all the management speak on Earth.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good sound effect. Exactly the sound effect there.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's what Darth Vader was trying to do. You know. I'm tired of your corporate jargon. Or I find your management speak disturbing. You know. Maybe that's what turned into the dark side. I don't know. I think the
wouldn't
answer...
it be fun if Yoda spoke in corporate jargon? Yeah, like downtime. We will have
cascading relevant information. You must achieve yes. Across new frontiers, branching out. You must reach out to you. I did.
Mm. That's for the film Office Wars. It's not Star Wars. It's Office Wars.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get a helicopter view just to make sure nobody drops the ball going forward.
Drops the ball.
If you drop the ball, it just means you make a mistake or you do something wrong. And then we have the classic going forward, which we've already dealt with. I think you know what I'm talking about. Feedback says that restructuring has been going very well. So restructuring is a bit like streamlining or changing the organisation of the company. I mean, clearly, Paul, this is not a come to Jesus moment. Have you ever heard of a come to Jesus moment?
Yeah, actually, there was a time when that happened.
Yeah,
we were having a training session, and the people that were helping us in the training session weren't necessarily being as good or as serious, taking it as seriously as they should have.
Right.
So one of my fellow trainers stood in front of them, and he had his come to Jesus speech, which was
he had a come to Jesus speech. So wait a minute, he in the meeting. He was Jesus then, I suppose.
Yeah, so these people weren't taking the job seriously enough, and he basically went in front of them and in a way were just like, you know, you're here, you've been selected from thousands of people to come and help us with this training.
Right.
From all over the world. We've paid for you to fly over here. You're staying in a 5-star hotel. You need to be taking it seriously, because otherwise the people who you're training, they're going to be thinking, well, why have they sent these people? Because they're all a bunch of idiots. So we dubbed that his come to Jesus speech.
Right. And the point of that was to try and convert people they weren't taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So you had to like bring them on board. It was a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So this is a come to Jesus moment could be defined as a meeting in which one person has to be disciplined and brought back in line with the philosophy or ethos of the organization, or a meeting or situation in which a person or organization comes back to the core values, often admitting mistakes in the process. So I guess everyone in that training meeting was like, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. We'll take it more seriously.
Yeah.
So that was a come to Jesus moment. But it just sounds so ridiculous to bring Jesus into it.
Yeah.
Why is Jesus involved?
Well, and the funny thing is, he was a Mormon. Well, he still is a Mormon.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And so it was a Mormon giving a come to Jesus speech.
But doesn't Jesus appear in the Book of Mormon? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does. But
does he?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
So I haven't seen that play.
Clearly, this is not a come to Jesus moment, Paul. Far from it. In fact, I think there's no need for much more of a drill down on this one. To drill down...
It's the same as like deep dive. It's the same as what's the other word
deep
we used?
Deep dive, to peel back the onion.
Peel back the onion.
Take a look under the bonnet, to drill down into this. Mm. Okay, it's like a deep dive. To go into depth, into details. We don't want this to turn into a case of paralysis by analysis.
I've not heard that one.
Really?
But well, I have, but I don't know if I know what it means. Paralysis by analysis means that by analysing something so much, you become paralyzed.
Yeah.
Which I can relate to. I mean, I guess some of my comedy is analysis by
Paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, some of that stuff is...
What you mean, because you go into all the minute details of social life and social etiquette in France.
Well, that or I analyse my comedy so much that then it becomes not funny.
Do you think so? Well, wait a minute. You keep saying on the podcast that you're not funny. I don't agree. I think you are funny, first of all. And secondly, so you think that sometimes you analyse your comedy so much to the point where you lose the funny?
Yeah, where I've analysed the phrase so much, or the, you know, if it's a short joke or a short story, I'll be analysing, oh, where can I add a line in there, where can I make it funny, and then by the end of it, it's a lot less funny than it was when I told it to you just on a
right
when we were out.
So it's a paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
Not such a bad phrase, maybe. It's kind of...
I like it.
It's a bit cheesy, I suppose. You can imagine someone in a meeting going, yeah, well, I think, you know, we're in danger of paralysis by analysis on this one, chaps. And then everyone's like, oh, God, did he really just say paralysis by analysis? It just sounds like a cliche. Yeah. It's like when people say, okay, everyone, just want you to remember, there's no I in team, okay?
Mm.
Which is like a way of trying to remind everyone that they have to be a team player. One team, one dream. Keep it's the teamwork that makes the dream work. So let's keep our eyes on the prize, Paul. To keep your eyes on the prize, you know, just to remember the objective.
Yeah, keep your eye on the money, keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking, Paul. You're thinking, but Luke, how can we truly push the envelope?
Mm.
To push the envelope is to try and, you know, push things further, to make them better. To try and make progress, okay? But it's a bit weird that we're talking about an envelope. I didn't realise that everything we were doing was in an envelope.
Yeah.
Anyway,
also, it's not very difficult, is it, to just push an envelope? You just go, like, you're just pushing an envelope.
That's right. There's an envelope on the table. You just push it a bit. Yeah. They're not usually very heavy.
Yeah, because push the envelope really means, like, how do we push the limits? How can we, you know, whereas pushing an envelope.
push the envelope is easy, but pushing the limits of the envelope is a bit more difficult. Mm. We need to come up with competitive deliverables.
Deliverables. Oh, I hate that word.
Right. Because normally you deliver something, right? There's a verb. But now apparently something is deliverable, meaning as an adjective.
Deliverable, yeah.
And now it's a noun as well. A deliverable or even deliverables. So what are deliverables?
It's things that, I guess, that are tangible. Tangible things that you...
Tangible things that you can deliver to customers normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or internally as well.
Yeah, it's just something tangible that you... It's a finished product, is a deliverable.
Okay.
Whether a finished product be an email, whether it's an actual product like a microphone or an iPhone or something like that. It's like something that you give to someone else.
Okay. It's something you deliver to someone, I suppose. So in terms of externally, it could be the product that you put into the marketplace that customers take. Those are deliverables.
I'm taking my glasses off because my headphones are hurting my ear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's... this is why I don't wear... When I'm out listening to music, I can only put in here... in here headphones. I'm becoming so French.
In here headphones. In-ear headphones.
In-ear headphones because I wear glasses. If I wear over-ear headphones, they squash my glasses frames into my ear and it really hurts.
Right. Okay, because he took his glasses off with this expression on his face like, I'm so disgusted by these glasses. Actually, I think that what's happening is we're getting overload of corporate nonsense.
Yeah, I think it
and
is.
And it's
stopping me from speaking English.
It's affecting everything. But we're nearly finished, all right? So we've dealt with deliverables, okay, you know, iPods or whatever, but also internally it could be like a report could be a deliverable. Multiple platforms, fine. To upscale our market diversity. To upscale something is just to make it better.
Mm.
Market diversity is just different. Diversity refers to many, many different things. Mm. So if you're talking about market diversity, you just mean, in this case, appealing to many different listeners from different countries and different age groups, you know? Right, okay. Moving forward is the same as going forward. You don't beat around the bush, Paul. There's an idiom that we've had before.
Yeah, I've never used that in the corporate world, but yeah, beating around the bush.
Just to say it's, you know, if you don't beat around the bush, it means you just say it straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the grass grow too long on this one, okay?
Yeah, I've not heard that, but again, I can see that being used.
It just means do it quickly.
Yeah.
Don't let the grass grow too long on this one, Paul. What grass? I didn't realise there was grass. Anyway, it just means do it early so that, you know, the grass doesn't grow too long, which is kind of...
What's wrong with the grass being too long anyway?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. The other thing is, we're going to kick this into the long grass. There's another phrase.
Oh, is
anyway,
it?
Anyway. Unpack these issues, which just means it's a bit like, you know, go, what is it, take a deep dive into the issues, peel back the onion. Have an idea shower. An idea shower.
I tend to have a lot of ideas in the shower.
Okay.
That's my, but that, what? Some of my most inspirational moments are when I'm in the shower.
But that's not what this means. It doesn't mean, okay, I want you all to have a shower together and then see if you can come up with some new ideas. That's not what an idea shower is it?
I don't know.
An idea shower is basically a brainstorm.
Oh.
So it just means, like, let all the ideas come out of your head freely. And let's think outside the box.
Yeah.
So it just means think in a free, unlimited sort of way. Blue sky thinking, as they say. Think outside the box, blue sky thinking. And then by end of play, which is, I mean, you said end of day, but sometimes people say end of play as well, which is like at the end of a game. Shoot me over an exit strategy. Oh, where's the text gone? Shoot me over an exit strategy. Like ping me an exit strategy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, send me like a plan for how we can get out of a situation. That will allow for true organic growth. Maximizing the potential for upstream stratcom. I mean,
stratcom.
This is, to an extent, this episode of the podcast is a bit paralysis by analysis, isn't it? It's like we're drowning in corporate.
Yeah. It's over the top
jargon.
Now.
It's a bit too much.
Should we start again?
Yeah, let's start the episode
after
again.
After an hour.
We should probably do some sort of conclusion at the end. I mean, you can see all of the phrases that we've been talking about on the page for this episode of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But listeners, we want to know what you think about this subject. If you listen to this and you ever do business with native speakers of English, have you ever noticed any of this kind of weird corporate language or management speak? Have you ever noticed it? Or do you ever find it difficult to communicate with native English speakers in the corporate world? In your languages as well, do you actually have the same thing? Do you have corporate language or management jargon, management speak in your first language too? And what do generally people feel about that subject as well?
Yeah, I'd like to find out what people's most hated corporate jargon in English is. So if you've got think about if you have worked with people and what's your top one hated jargon. I mean, if I could string a sentence together, it would be great, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Just comment and let us know what your most hated corporate jargon phrase or word is.
Yeah, we'd like to know. And yeah, let us know your top one. I like the way the top one, like normally it's the top three, top five, but no, I like that, a top one. Just like, what's your favorite bit of corporate jargon that you may have heard in the world? All right. So yeah, Paul, all right, what are you doing later on? You've got some sort of like script meeting with some comedians.
Yeah,
or something,
it's going to be good. And there will be no corporate talk there. That's one of the things, one of my favorite things about not working in a corporate thing anymore is having to listen to all that again. So thanks for making me listen to it once again. And hopefully this will be the last time I ever say any of those words in my life.
Yeah, yeah. I just did your head in by reminding you of how miserable the corporate world has been for you, maybe. Okay, that's the end of the... I'm also interested in hearing from any native speakers that might be listening to this.
Yeah.
Because I do get some, like some Americans and stuff who want to hear a bit of British English. So if you are a native speaker and, you know, you have things to say about management speak that haven't already been said, because we've pretty much dealt with the whole subject, I think, then do let us know. Leave your comments on the page for this episode. I think I'm going to play the episode out with... a track by a guy called Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh yeah, you know? I like Weird Al.
Weird Al Yankovic.
I'm just going to stop talking because I can't speak anymore. Thanks for listening to me, and I'll leave it with Luke.
You're all right, Paul. You're all right. Who is Weird Al Yankovic?
He's I know him as a parody singer songwriter. He creates songs that are usually parodies of other songs that have already been created. like he did the one that I know quite well. He did a recent one about Happy, actually.
Did he?
You know, Pharrell Williams is Happy, the one that drove everyone crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm the first
happy.
One.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'm not that happy. I've heard this song 100,000 times. Yeah. I'm not. I'm annoyed. Because I'm annoyed. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, he did a parody of that. But the first one I heard was a parody of Gangster's Paradise.
Right.
And the title was An Amish Paradise.
Right.
And it was a very funny parody. So yeah, he does parody songs.
He did a parody of Michael Jackson's "Beat It," and it was called "Eat It."
Oh,
it was all about food. And he's done. He's brilliant. Actually, he does loads and loads and loads of different parodies of different songs. And this one is called "Mission Statement," and it's making fun of corporate language. And so this is Weird Al Yankovic doing "Mission Statement," and the musical parody is a parody of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No.
They were like an old band from the 1960s and 70s, and they did sort of hippie music. Neil Young, Graham Nash, Stephen Stills, David Crosby. No? Anyway, this is it's a sort of parody of their musical style, but full of corporate language and nonsense jargon. Here we go.
Efficiently operationalize our strategies. Invest in world-class technology and leverage our core competencies in order to holistically administrate exceptional synergy. We'll set a brand trajectory using management's philosophy. Advance our market share vis-a-vis our proven methodology. With strong commitment to quality, effectively enhancing corporate synergy. Transitioning a company by awareness of functionality, promoting viability, providing our supply chain with diversity. We will distill our identity through client-centric solutions and synergy.
Okay, I think you get the idea of that, listeners, don't you? So that's that was Weird Al Yankovic doing his track called Mission Statement. And, of course, I strongly recommend that you get his album, which you can find on iTunes and other places, and it's called Mandatory Fun. I'm going to put a link to his album on the page for this episode. Weird Al Yankovic, Mandatory Fun. And there are parodies, song parodies of Elvis, the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and all sorts of other things. And it includes that song, Mission Statement, that you just heard. Okay, so go to the page for this episode. You'll find all the details. And that is basically it. Anything else to say, Paul?
No, I think that's it. Hopefully you enjoyed Corporate Jargon. Please, let us know what your favorite one is. And, unfortunately for you guys learning English, it's just part of the language that you might have to learn if you're thinking about working in business. So... yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay. Speak to you again soon, listeners. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.